Your Bible to the book of Revelation. We're in chapter 12 and should move on through it a little bit this morning. Appreciate you folks that have been faithful through all the chapters. And it's taken a while. The folks that wanted me to teach it again, I've taught it a number of times through these 40 years as pastor. But the folks that wanted me to teach it again took up off and went on back up north and left us out on a limb with it. But I'm going to fool them. I'm going to drag it out till some of them get back. Amen. But anyway, Revelation chapter 12. Boy, there's what a current book for us today with all the mess the world's in. But the good part is, as we know, it didn't catch the Lord by surprise. And so what he tells us in the Word lets us know that he's not confused by what's going on. He hadn't lost track of what's going on. He's still going to have his will and his way turn out like he's written it in his word. Revelation chapter 12 starts off, there appeared a great wonder in heaven. Now John is seeing, he's been caught up to the throne. God's letting him look down on the earth after the church is gone, after we've been raptured out. So in a sense now, John saw this ahead of us, because here it is written in about AD 95 maybe. But we're going to see it too, just as he is seeing it. We're going to get up there with him. Church is going to be caught up there. I believe with all my heart, God's going to let us look down and see a lot of the stuff that's going on in what we call the tribulation period that's going on down here on planet Earth. And that tribulation period really started in the book of Revelation here, at least by the time you get to chapter 6. And the seven seal book is begin to be opened, and the seals begin to break loose on the planet Earth. That's the time that God is going to begin to let some judgment fall. And then when we reach the 3.5 year mark of a 7 year period, and that's where we are at here in chapter 11 and 12, that last 3.5 years is going to be the great tribulation that Jesus referred to in Matthew chapter 24. And it'll be the wrath of God falling more immediately upon sin on this old planet. Now, that's what we're seeing as John sees this. We're seeing God's whole plan, whole picture unfold. And now we've moved into the time that the plagues and troubles from God's going to be working on planet Earth. In chapter 12, we find out that the culprit behind it all, the devil, finally gets kicked out of heaven. Now, the wonder that appears in chapter 1, I review it just a little bit, is the woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. We go back to Genesis 37 and find out the woman is Israel. Israel is the one that the Messiah came through. Jesus was a Jew. He was of the lineage of David, King David, a Jew. He was a lineage of Abraham, and all the way back through the promised seed. And so Israel, in a sense, produced the Messiah, as was predicted, and yet they rejected the Messiah. And till this day, as a nation, they still reject Jesus. I was reading some stuff this week. Rabbis trying to explain away the prophecies that so clearly identify that Jesus was their Messiah. And they have to twist and turn and dodge to try to get around that. And many of them are getting their eyes open that if their Messiah ever showed up, it had to be Jesus. And he did show up. And they said, away, crucify him. We'll not have this man reign over us. We only have one king, that's Caesar. They were playing politically correctness when they answered Pilate back. When Pilate said to them, offer Jesus as their king, they said, we'll only have one king, that's Caesar. That was the way to make political hay, like so many of the voices we hear today. But they made a terrible mistake as a nation in rejecting their Messiah. They're going to recognize him when he finally comes back in his glory. In Zechariah 14 and other places, you read how they're going to finally recognize him. But in the meantime, they have suffered as a nation. I read you about all the suffering of Judaism and the Jews in particular, all the way through history, even up to the time of the Holocaust. And if Iran has their way, they're going to have another Holocaust. That's the leader of Iran says that Holocaust never happened. And foolishness like that. This week, I believe it was, he met, or last week, met with the leadership of Lebanon. Lebanon shares a border, you know, with Israel. And it looks like, and I may preach on this some one of these days again, and I have before, but it looks like Iran is budding up with a bunch of nations that's going to make the coalition to come down and try to destroy Israel. That seems to be what's going on right now. But there's only one thing. They think they've planned for everything. They think if they get America out of the way, or if we continue to be wimpy as we are acting now, that they'll get by with it. But they're forgetting God. And when you read the Bible, God takes a strong arm in it and deals with it. And that's what's going to ultimately happen. In chapter 12 here, we have the woman, Israel, bringing forth the Christ child, the man child. He was to rule. He hasn't yet, but he's going to rule all nations. Satan's kicked out of heaven. He comes down to persecute the woman. I pointed out there was a gap between verse 5 and 6 in this chapter that we sometimes call the church age and the grace gap, because you have a period from the time the child is born and caught up to heaven, the ascension, after the resurrection. Then you have the woman fleeing into the wilderness. That has not yet happened because the timeline is on that. It says it'll be 1,260 days, 1,260 days, 3.5 years. And that'll be in the tribulation time. That 7-year period that Daniel talked about, we call it Daniel's 70th week, was divided into 2 3.5s. First 3.5, apparently the Antichrist is going to come in and fool the world and set up his peace plan and all of that. By the way, he would have a hard time doing it now, even though, I mean, they're working on it now. There's no doubt about them working on it now. But what's withholding is God's people. And when God's people are called out at the rapture, he's going to have a paved street right on to his rule, to his global plan that he's got. Nobody be interfering with him then. So he's going to put it together. But then you switch up to heaven and see what's going on in heaven in verse 7. There was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon. And the dragon fought and his angels. Now, Michael is almost always identified in the scripture as the archangel that fights for and represents Israel. And this big fight's going to take place and says, and prevail not. The dragon prevailed not. Neither was their place found any more in heaven. Now, they need to be reminded, they do have a place in heaven now. The devil has access to the earth. He has access before the throne of God. He did in the book of Job when he was able to accuse Job before God. The Bible speaks of him as being our accuser. And here in this passage, he's called the accuser of the brethren. You get over to 1 John and find out that we have an advocate before the throne. The Lord Jesus Christ is our lawyer, but the devil's our prosecuting attorney. And I've said this before, the devil accuses you and I before God. He don't lie on us because you can't lie to God, but he does accuse us. And the good part is we've got a representative up there, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. So when you get saved, you've got Christ representing you. Unsaved, you don't have. And the devil is the accuser of the brethren, so he goes after those that are saved as much as he can. And I do not understand it all. We will one day, but somehow or another, God allows us to be tested. And sometimes we pass the test, and sometimes we fail it. But that's the scene that's going on in heaven. Now, it tells us that their place is not found anymore, verse 8. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Now, you notice if you jumped over to chapter 13 and picked up verses 3 and 4, when he comes down, he's going to come down with a puppet man that he's going to speak through, and he's going to set up, and he's going to use, just like he used Judas when Christ was on the earth, or even he's going to use this guy even greater. Jump over to chapter 13, verse 3, and I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast, and they worshiped the dragon, which gave power unto the beast, and they worshiped the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? So here you're going to have a new power structure on earth. We've got it now, but it's somewhat restrained. As bad as it is, it's still under restraint. And when that restraint is lifted, when God's people are called out, and where's the Holy Spirit live today? He lives within the heart, the body of the believer. So when the believers are called out, the restraint that this world is feeling from the influence of God's people is going to be lifted, and the devil's going to have a freeway to what he wants to do. Folks, do you understand more and more in the news that we are being declared the problem in America? Bible believers, good churches, people that stand for anything right. I mean, who is it that's standing against abortion? Who is standing against the evils that we see? It's God's people. And you got some others, oh, they can take it or leave it. They don't care. They're not interested. But we're being painted as being the problem. And it's amazing how the politicians let it slip every now and then, really, who they think the enemy is. It's us that stand for the Word of God. And when we're gone, it's going to give them freedom to do wrong without anybody speaking against it. Now, the devil's cast out here. Michael and his angels prevail over Satan and his angels. And I look in verse 10, and it says, I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation. You got to read your Bible close. You always want to watch things like was up in verse 5, who was to rule all nations, who shall have a kingdom, and so on. And here it says in verse 10, now is saying it hadn't happened before, but now it's finally arrived. Now is come salvation and strength in the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death. Now, that's been true with the Christians through history. You read concerning the martyrs. In more recent days, some of you will remember the Aucua Indians down in Ecuador that killed the missionaries way back in, what, the 50s or 60s. And they've made movies about it and other things. But those men that finally came in and landed the airplane on the little beach of the river there and were spared to death by the heathen tribe. Later on, their wives went in, won the tribe to the Lord. It's quite a story and quite a testimony. But found in the river was where the missionaries had a rifle, a repeating rifle. They could have defended themselves, but they didn't. And the later members of the family, like the son and wives, said that the thinking of the missionaries was, and you might not agree with this, but this is where they thought, if we shoot them, they're going to hell. If they kill us, we're going to heaven. And so all the work they'd done to reach them, they didn't undo it. Instead of firing upon them and stopping them when they came out and spared them to death, they didn't. And that story is repeated down through history many times. I'm not saying I'd be capable of you standing here right now in a clear mind. I'd think you probably couldn't do that. But read in the verse here, love not their life unto death. I mean, that was not the biggest thing to them, was saving their physical life. They had the overall big picture. And if you look at what history tells us now, go back to the murder of those missionaries. Do you realize that whole tribes of people then got converted as the wives went in there and the gospel was preached? It's a fabulous story. God had to be in it. It cost the lives of those men, but it was broadcast around the world. And the good that has come from that has been tremendous. So history would prove out they made the right decision. They made the right decision. Now, here, overcoming the devil lists some things. They overcome him by the blood of the Lamb. That's first and foremost. You got to get saved by the blood of the Lamb, no other way. the word of their testimony. Do you know after we're saved, how we live, our influence, the life, our testimony is a powerful tool that God uses. He uses it in a tremendous way. And then they love not their lives unto death. Now, all of us may not be called upon to give our lives, but there's been many that's been called on to do that down through church history. You can read about it, Fox's Book of Martyr and so forth. Love not their lives unto death. Now, I'm going to back up a little bit. Back up here to the devil being cast out of heaven. He's called the devil and Satan, dragon. Isn't it interesting that some cultures make so much of the dragon? For instance, China, their big holidays, their big festivals. They march in the street with artificial made dragons. Do you understand that when God looks at the devil, he sees him as a dragon, according to the book of Revelation here? But you know, the Bible says he appears as an angel of light unto men. Appears in a lot of different ways. And yet he is that old dragon. Now, he and his angels are going to be cast out of heaven. This is tribulation period stuff, but that's not far off. If the trumpet sounded today and the saved were caught out, then very soon, perhaps weeks, months, no more than very few years, the tribulation period would break forth on the earth. So this scene that we're reading about in chapter 12 is not all that far ahead. Now let me say something to you that'll bother some of you a little bit. But when the devil and his angels are going to be cast out, if the saved are gone, the world's going to welcome them with open arms. I just read those verses out of chapter 13 where they're going to be worshiped. Now, at this moment, your kids, and even us to a great degree, have been brainwashed to accept some space visitors. Did you know that? Your kids have been, they're so used to those programs, to the ray guns and all that Star Wars type stuff. It's in the cartoons, and Star Wars made millions and millions of dollars, and now they got computers where they can sit down and program all this stuff and do all this uncanny stuff. Used to be when old Roy Rogers or Gene Autry jumped off his horse, he was actually doing it for real. When he bulldogged a steer or when he jumped off his horse, knocked the bad man off of his horse, he had to actually do that for the camera to pick it up. Not so anymore. They'd take the computers and do all that stuff that they're doing now and then put it on the big screen and it looks like something real to us. But this scene in Revelation 12 is going to happen. When the devil and his angels come down, maybe in our mind, we think, here the angels are going to come down, you know, they're going to come out of the clouds and they're going to land on the mountain peaks and they're going to look like the artist's drawing of angels. I'm not sure about that. Not sure that that's the way the world's been programmed. They may come down in one of the biggest disguises that would be accepted right now, and that's extraterrestrials. And that's what the world is looking for. That's what a big part of the world is hoping for. Somebody will come with the answer. Somebody will come and show us technology we don't yet have. There's big claims that that's already happened and all that business. I might have told you this the other day. There's just recently a group of retired military men that decided to get together, high up brass in the military, decided to get together and make a statement to the world that they're going to tell the truth about UFOs. And they have suddenly been quietened. Have you noticed that? But they did come out with the answer, but now they've been quietened up on it. However, one of the things that came out, they were going to tell about them getting on top of our, coming over and parking on top of our military bases. And in one case, where the order was given to fire missiles at them, the missiles wouldn't fire. Now, I didn't invent that. I'm reporting what was reported. And I don't know if they're ever going to speak out any more than that or not. And I thought when I was listening to that, well, I'll just go ahead and say this. Did you see this week or last week where the UN announced that they now have a department to welcome the extraterrestrials? Did you see that? I didn't. I didn't write that either. It come on the ticker tape right across the regular news. Hadn't been enlarged on much. It said, and they called the man's name. Naturally, it's a foreign name I can't pronounce. But whoever it is heading up the department in the UN made this statement. He said, Americans are not yet ready to accept them. But what he's saying is, we are being prepared, and when the time comes, we will accept them. Well, that's Revelation chapter 12. Don't kid yourself. You say, well, maybe they're from Mars, yeah? And maybe they're from hell. they may be the devil's crowd that's going to get kicked out one of these days, and they may come before this, but I'll guarantee you, if they come down, and this is what the talk is, if they come down saying, basically, there is no God, it was us all the time, you're going to be surprised how many folks are going to fall for that. That's amazing. There's all kind of talk going on in that area right now. But I find in chapter 12 where the bad crowd gets kicked out of heaven, can't come back to heaven and accuse us anymore. And why you say, well, the Bible's dull. That's not dull, what I just said. That's pretty exciting. And if you really study this book, it's very exciting and it's very enlightening. If you want to really know what's going on in the world, this is the book you learn it from. You don't get all this propaganda that's got the spin on it to deceive you. But anyway, this is an event that's going to take place. And when is it going to take place? This is in the tribulation period. Near the beginning of the tribulation period, and the church is caught out, there's somebody's going to have to make a big excuse what happened to all the folks that disappeared. Now, if you're the one of the gang that disappears, you may have some loved ones that have heard you talk about the rapture and might even went to church with you. You know, there's going to be a little panic in their heart until somebody explains it away, that you really had a mental condition. And so the extraterrestrials have caught you up to their laboratory to fix you, and when they bring you back, you'll be all right. Now, I'm being a little facetious, but not too much. Not too much. The New Agers have been talking about that for a long time. And the New Agers are tied into what they call the Masters of Wisdom. They actually believe in these so-called gods, masters, that set up there, and they're nothing more but devils and demons. That's fooling them. That's all there is to it. But if you're an old Bible believer, you don't have to be shocked by all that stuff. And Jesus talked about the deception would be so great that it would almost deceive the elect. That's pretty good deception. Well, it's hard for me not to say a little more on it here, but anyway, interesting days, folks. But the devil and his crowd is going to be kicked out. I just say this, the devil and his crowd's been here before. In a sense, he's here now, certainly. He's not omnipresent like God, but he has a lot of emissaries. He has a lot of demons and devils that work with him and all that. We understand that, but he has access to go back and forth to heaven now. I believe in Genesis chapter 6 that they showed up before. I believe there's plenty of world evidence for that. And when you're watching these documentaries on TV about how they build the pyramids or why they got from the air all these maps and landing bases that they show, anybody ever seen that stuff? All right, you watch something besides Oprah, I hope. Maybe. Anyway, question is, who drew all those maps on the ground and flattened off those mountains for aircraft to land? You ever seen any of that stuff? Who carved all that stuff in the rocks? Who came and visited the Indians when they drew pictures of men in space suits on the rocks? You can still go out there right here in America and see those things. I'm not making it up, so help me, I'm not. Anyway, I make things up every now and then. I make up things to keep the wife happy and grandkids and things like that. We all do that, don't we? But I'm not making this up. She suspected that all the time. I didn't let no secret out. Well, joking aside, there's some real stuff that's happening that we ignore a lot. Anyway, I may get on that in the sermon this morning. I don't know. Anyway, I was reading some of the, there's some old writings. As old, in some cases older than the Bible, even as far as the books we have in the Bible. You read in the little book of Jude just before you get to Revelation, just one chapter, Jude. You read where they reference a man by the name of Enoch. Enoch's in the book of Genesis. He was walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. You remember the story of Enoch. And Enoch had some real writings. Enoch claimed to have some of the angels show up, the good angels, and give him some tours of some things. And he dealt also with seeing the fate of bad angels. Now, Enoch's books are not in the Bible. They don't belong in the Bible. Somebody got a hold of them and corrupted them, so God didn't want them in the Bible, or they'd be in the Bible. But they're pretty good history, and I've read them some, and I find that they run so parallel with the Scripture, just so very parallel. And one thing has to do with what we're talking about right now. And the bad angels did show up in history. They corrupted the daughters of men. They corrupted the seed. Remember, there's a battle between the good seed and the bad seed all the way through the Bible until Jesus is born. Jesus was virgin born of the seed of the woman. Satan is the serpent seed, Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. They battled all the way through the Old Testament. And the battle still doesn't finish up until you finish Revelation. To the devil is finally and his false Christ, false prophets cast in the lake of fire. So the seed was fighting way back, even in the days of Noah. And if you read close, it says Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. The whole world was corrupt. God had to flood it out. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. But it also says Noah was perfect. Wait a minute. Nobody's perfect, all have sinned. And it doesn't say Noah was perfect, it says Noah was perfect in his generations. You know where the word generation, we hear a word today called genes. I said to somebody recently, their parent was old and still pretty healthy, and I said, boy, you got a good gene bank there that you're following. You know, we talk that because we heard it in the, you know, and we're talking about genes. Well, genes and generation, we say, well, he's from a good generation or whatever. That's the tie-in. Now, Noah was perfect in his generations, S, plural, genes. The fallen angels had come down to earth and corrupted the gene pool of man in Genesis chapter 6, and God wiped them out. History's coming around again. There's going to be a lot of the same thing happen again when this crowd falls out of, kicked out of heaven. And the fallen angels, Satan's angels are kicked out with him here. All of that shouldn't shock you folks. I'm not talking Star Wars to you. I'm talking Bible. The giants that was produced from the corruption of the seed in Genesis, a lot of evidence for that. Going through even the Bible as well as the other stuff. So the devil has played and had his hand in the world affairs from the Garden of Eden on. But when you get to chapter 12, he's going to get kicked out, and in a little while he's going to be destroyed. And in that destruction, he's going to lose his power. Now, I've preached some of that occasionally, something along that line, or taught like I'm doing now, and I find out it disturbs people. They think you ought to go to church and hear about Jesus, meek and mild, that loves the little child, and go home and everybody's happy. But there's a little more to it than that. There is God's side that he loves us while we're yet sinners, and we can't fathom that love. But there's also the side of his wrath. There's also the side of the warfare and all of that business that's involved in this old world. So we get down here to chapter 12 and we see a good conclusion building toward a conclusion when he's kicked out of heaven. And verse 12 says, therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you having great wrath, because he knoweth that he have but a short time. You know, we talk that sometimes. It's okay to do it. Well, the devil's really active today. He knows he's got but a short time. Yeah, but this is really referring to his last 3.5 years in the tribulation period. This is when he can't get back into heaven. And it's true, I think he's active today more than ever before, but he's always been active. I've just been talking about that from Genesis on. But there'll be a time. Do you ever watch, ladies, now you're going to have a hard time relating to this, but try. That ball game you can't stand when your husband's sitting there watching it and screaming at the players. You don't have a husband like that? Well, if you had a real He-Man husband, he'd be watching the ball game and hollering at them. Just wanted to clarify that. And especially when it gets down to the last 2 minutes of the game. Because somebody's about to win or lose in the last 2 minutes. And the team that's behind in the last 2 minutes has a drill that they go through. They practice for the occasion. And the practice is that we got to score in 2 minutes. So what they'll do is they'll send the receivers out to the sidelines, and the quarterback will throw it, and the receiver will try to catch it and step out of bounds to stop the clock. It's called a 2-minute drill. Now, are you wiser? You ladies realize how you've been deceived a few times? When you'll say to your husband, we gotta go, or it's bedtime, or come on to lunch. And he'll say, hold it, there's only 2 minutes of the game. And then you find out it took 15 minutes to play 2 minutes of the game. Find out you've been tricked, because that 2-minute drill, catch the ball in 10 seconds, step outside. And they'd make 15 minutes sometime out of a 2-minute drill almost. Some of you ladies nodding your head, oh, yeah, I shouldn't have let that secret out. But the devil's going to go on his 2-minute drill. He's going to be kicked out. Tribulation period. He has a short time. He's going to make the most of it. So no wonder the book of Revelation tells the earth down here, you're fixing to have it bad. Rejoice, ye heavens, getting the devil out. But ye that dwell on the earth, woe to you, inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil has come down unto you having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. That's his 2-minute drill, so to speak. All the damage he can do, right at the end, he's going to do it. And it says, and when the dragon saw that he was cast unto the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man-child, that's Israel, and he's gone. The tribulation period is called the day of Jacob, or Israel's trouble, and Satan is going to be after them big time. And I'm going to ask you not to read ahead, because I didn't finish the chapter. So next week I'll go from verse 14 through 17, and I'm sure you won't read ahead. Amen.